Well, our scripture reading this evening is not found in Romans chapter 8, but instead, Psalm 33 will be our text. There are many places in scripture we can go to hear about the Almighty God that we confess, and this evening we will consider that from Psalm 33. Psalm 33, brothers and sisters, this is God's Word. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to Him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen as His heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where He sits enthroned, He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by his great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and may keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in Him, because we trust in His holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Thanks be to God for His word. Now with this Lord's Day, the Catechism begins its explanation of the various articles of the Christian faith as summarized in the Apostles' Creed. As Christians, especially as Reformed Christians, it's very important that we know what the Bible says about these confessions that we speak of. What do we confess in the Creed? What does it mean? These are good things for us to think about. And the confessions and the creeds, therefore, are very good summaries of what the Bible says about the various different things in the Christian faith. Well, in the first article of the Apostles' Creed, we confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Now, there's one very small word here at the beginning that we need to consider very briefly. That word is in. To believe God and to believe in God are two very different things. James 2, verse 19 tells us that the demons believe God, believe that He exists. But they don't believe in God as their Lord and their Savior. Brothers and sisters, when we confess the Creed, we aren't just saying words for the sake of saying words. What we are saying is to be a profession, to be a confession of what we believe the Bible to say, what we confess about our own particular faith. We believe in God as our Heavenly Father. To have God as our Heavenly Father means that we are at peace with Him, that we have been adopted as His children, which can only come through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, this evening we have the wonderful opportunity to look at Psalm 33 and its call for us to praise our Almighty God, Creator, Maker, of heaven and earth. Well, the psalm gives us three reasons why we should praise our God. So why are we to praise God? because of God's work in creation, because of God's work in providence, and finally, God's covenant faithfulness. May we, children of that Almighty God, rejoice and sing God's praise along with the psalmist and the entire Christian church throughout the ages, and as we reflect on what it means to believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. So first of all, God's work in creation. Now children, perhaps throughout the year you make certain items for your parents or your grandparents or maybe even friends and family. Now what do you do when you have these sort of projects? Well, your parents or maybe your teacher pull off a box off of a shelf that says craft supplies or something like that. And in there, there's a whole sorts of things, paper, glue, popsicle sticks, glitter, all the materials you need to make a beautiful creation. But using all these items, maybe after an hour or two, you have what you wanted to have. Well, maybe it looks a little bit different than what you have hoped, but it's close enough. What do you think this is how God creates? Well, listen to what we read in verse 9 of our psalm. For He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Listen also to Hebrews 11 verse 3. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And even the catechism which we quoted this evening, the Father who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them. Did God create by pulling a box off of His shelf that says creation of the world supplies? No, He didn't. He spoke and it came into being. Did God spend time making something that was not quite what He wanted, but close enough? No, God spoke the world into being, and it was perfect. When we create something, we need materials, we need stuff. When God creates, He does it out of nothing, just by speaking. This is how God created the world and everything in it. Well, knowing this caused the psalmist to call all peoples to shout, give thanks, make melody, sing, and play music to God our Father. Thinking about these things should also cause us to stand in awe of Him, as verse 8 tells us. But it's also interesting what else the psalmist says in verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Just by seeing this creation that God has made, every person on earth is called to fear the Lord and to stand in awe before Him. But do all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe before God? Do all the peoples of the earth fear Him? No, they don't. Well, why is that? Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1 why they don't. Ungodly men suppress the truth in unrighteousness. This truth that God has plainly revealed to them. Although they know God, Paul tells us, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. They did not do what Psalm 33 tells the peoples of the earth to do. Give thanks to the Lord and fear Him. Instead, Paul goes on to say in Romans 1, verse 25, that they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped the creation instead of the Creator God. Throughout the history of mankind, and maybe even more so in our time, the creation has been worshiped instead of the Creator. The one who created all things is pushed aside. Sin and wickedness blind our eyes to see the things of God as they truly are, things of God. If we are to give God praise because of His creation, then we also to give God praise and thanks because He just hasn't set off His creation to do whatever it's going to do by itself, become whatever happens to it. No, God has created the heavens and the earth, and He still upholds and rules them by His eternal counsel and providence. Which brings us to the second reason why we should praise the Lord. Because of God's work in providence. Now, Lord willing, next week when we look at Lord's Day 10, hopefully Reverend Brown will be back in the pulpit, we'll focus a little bit more on God's providence and what we believe when we say, when we confess about God's providence. Now, there are plenty of passages in Scripture to go to find the doctrine of providence. But even in Psalm 33, we can come to this comfort that comes in thinking about God ruling over all things. In verses 10 through 19, the psalmist paints a picture of God's present ruling and reigning over all the nations of the earth, with an eye to preserving, to upholding, and blessing His own people. Listen to how beautifully the psalmist writes about God's providence in verses 10 through 19. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen as His heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where He sits enthroned, He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by His great army. A warrior is not delivered by His great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love, that He may deliver their soul from death, and keep them alive in famine. Did you notice how the thoughts and the plans of men here on earth were frustrated by God if they were not according to God's will? Well, children, have you ever had a big idea? Something you really wanted to do that you thought would be great fun? Maybe it's jumping off of your roof into the swimming pool. Sounds like a great idea. What would your parents do as soon as they found out what you were planning on doing? They'd put a stop to it immediately. They don't want to have an unexpected trip to the hospital. They know that it's not safe. They know what is best for you. And they want to keep you from hurting yourself, preserving your life. Now, your parents, children, also watch over your heart and your mind as well, not just your physical body. They don't let you watch certain TV shows or movies that are inappropriate for you, or maybe rated too high. They're protecting you from the ideas and images that can damage young minds. Well, in much the same way, our Heavenly Father watches over us and protects us, even as we now live in this good world that He has created. God doesn't let His enemies do whatever they want, as much as it looks like they are. As we briefly think about why we should rejoice about God's providence, it's important to remember what God's providence means and what it doesn't mean. God's providence doesn't mean that we won't hurt, that we won't suffer in this life. God's providence doesn't mean that every Christian will be rich and get what they want in life. Sometimes we can think this way, don't we? Okay, Lord, I believed in You. I put my trust in You. Now, what are You going to do for me? This is not thinking correctly about God's providence. The Catechism tells us what God's providence does mean. It means that we are to trust God for two things. First, that He will provide whatever we need in body and soul. And secondly, that He will turn to our good whatever adversity He sends us in this sad world. These are the promises of God, brothers and sisters. Well, first, God will provide whatever I need in body and in soul. Again, our Heavenly Father is concerned with our whole being, body and soul. Listen to verses 18 and 19 again. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love, that He may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. For those who hope, or for those who trust in the Lord, He will deliver our soul from death, and He will keep us alive in famine. Here the psalmist gives us the gospel promise that God will deliver our soul from death. Listen how David puts this in the next psalm, in Psalm 34, verse 22. The Lord redeems the life of His servants. None of those who take refuge in Him will be condemned. The same word that the ESV translates as life in 34, verse 22, is the same word translated as soul in 33, verse 19. The Lord redeems the soul or the life of His servants. None of those who take refuge in Him will be condemned. For those that trust in Christ and in God the Father, we will not be condemned. That is truly good news. Why won't we be condemned? Because Christ was condemned for us. In Christ, God truly delivers our souls from death. And if God won't let our souls see destruction, He won't let our bodies see destruction either. But again, we have to be careful here as well, don't we? It's great how the psalmist speaks of it in 33, verse 19, that the Lord will keep them alive in famine. Notice that the psalmist doesn't say He will make them fat in famine. No, what the psalmist says is essentially the same thing that we quoted in our catechism. Whatever I need for my body. Just because we're not getting exactly what we want from the hand of the Lord doesn't mean that He is not being a faithful Father or that His providence somehow skipped over our house. What it means is that we are getting exactly what the Lord wants to give us, according to verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him. Well, the second thing that providence means is that our Heavenly Father will turn to our good whatever adversity He sends to us in this sad world. Well, notice that this is a sad world and that we are pilgrims in it. Paul calls this age a present evil age in Galatians 1. This is not our home. We are just waiting for the new heavens and the new earth to be ushered in. Other translations of the Catechism say here, whatever adversity He sends me in this vale of tears. Which brings to our minds that this life is going to be full of tears, full of struggles, full of hardships. Yet we know, well, Christian, do you know, that God will turn all these adversities to our good. We may not understand how or when God did this for us. We may only know that when we get into heaven. But God will do these things. I don't know all the struggles and trials or tears that you are facing right now. I know some of them. But I know that every single one of us will have, and maybe have right now, many trials, many sufferings in our lives. But we have to say with Paul that we know that for those whom God has called to be His children, all things will work out for their good. Well, how can we be so sure? Well, because of the third reason the psalm calls us to praise our God and rejoice in the Almighty God, the Maker of heaven and earth, because of God's covenant faithfulness. Perhaps the most important verse in this whole psalm is the last verse, because it grounds really why we can rejoice in our Almighty God. We can rejoice because our hope is in the Lord and His steadfast love. Now, you have heard this many times from this pulpit, I know, but when the ESV translates the Hebrew word hesed, it usually does so with steadfast love. Perhaps a better way that we can translate this word is God's covenant faithfulness. This is the reason why we can rejoice in God's providential care for us. Because He is faithful to His covenant. We aren't truly faithful. We fall and we fail in some respect or another at everything we do. We can't keep all the promises that we make. But God doesn't fail. God cannot fail. God cannot let one of His promises slip by unfulfilled. Every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, have had a close friend or maybe even a family member not keep a promise. We all know what that feels like, don't we? To not have a friend keep their promise to us. Well, we might not trust them so much the next time they promise us something. Well, because of God's covenant faithfulness, we can trust Him. In fact, we must trust Him. All of God's promises have either been fulfilled or are waiting to be fulfilled. This is the Almighty God we're talking about. We can trust Him. This is why the psalmist says what he does in verses 20 to 22. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in Him, because we trust in His holy name. Let your steadfast love, your covenant faithfulness, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. We wait for the Lord. Our hearts are glad in Him. We trust in His holy name. We ask the Lord to have His covenant faithfulness be upon us as we put our hope in Him. Well, brothers and sisters, we have God's covenant faithfulness and His steadfast love upon us. What does that look like? Well, the most supreme example of God's covenant faithfulness is seen in the person and work of Jesus Christ, His Son. The accomplishment of redemption for all of God's people. God was faithful to the covenant that He made with His Son all the way back, even before the creation of the world, where He gave the Son all the elect as His sheep. We are, therefore, because of that covenant right now, God's people, God's children, in Christ, covered in Christ's righteousness. This is truly God's covenant faithfulness being expressed to His children. One of my most favorite lines in all the confessions that we have is found at the end of question answer 26. That God is able to do all of this because He is Almighty God. But He desires to do this because He is our faithful Father. We need both of those things to be true, don't we? We need to have the Almighty and Creator God, the one who has the power to speak into existence. One who looks down from heaven and sees all the children of man. We need this sort of God to have the ability to provide us everything that we need in body and in soul. Now I can tell you that after the service, I'm going to give every single one of you a check that's going to pay off your mortgage. I would love to be able to do that, but I don't have the ability to do that. Our God not only promises to bless us, but He actually does. Not only do we need a God who is almighty, but we also need a God who desires to do these things as a faithful Father. Maybe perhaps I do have the means to pay off all of your debt. What if I just don't want to? I don't want to give you any of my money. Well, because of God's need to remain faithful to His covenant, it pleases Him. It's His desire to provide all these things for His children. Brothers and sisters, we too are in this covenant with God. We are included in that covenant that God made all the way back with Abraham, saying that He is going to bless all the nations through Abraham. We are right now the household of God, God's covenant children. This is what the psalmist is talking about in verse 12. Blessed is the nation, or another way to translate it is, blessed is the people whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen as His heritage. God is your Heavenly Father because of His Son, Jesus Christ. Is He? Is He your Heavenly Father because of His Son, Jesus Christ? Well, if He's not, then none of these blessings are yours. You're not of the people of God. He has not chosen you as His heritage. To not be part of the heritage of God means to then be an enemy of God, not a position that any of us want to be in. Well, if this characterizes you, then this psalm calls you to put your trust in the Almighty God, the Almighty Creator God, who has promised to save your soul from death, to keep you alive in famine. But for those of us whose soul does wait for the Lord, who do pray for the Lord to let His steadfast love, His covenant faithfulness be upon us, then brothers and sisters, we have every reason to rejoice, not only tonight, every single day of our lives. The psalmist opens by calling the righteous to shout for joy, and that praise befits the upright. Because of Christ and what He did for us, we are righteous. We are counted as being upright. And therefore, we must praise God continually, to give praise to our Almighty Creator God, not only for His works in creation, but also His works in providence, and also for His covenant faithfulness to us as children. Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, what an honor, what a privilege it is to even come before You as our Heavenly Father through Your Son, Jesus Christ. That You chose us even before the foundations of the world to be Your children. To have Christ purchase our redemption. To have the Holy Spirit apply that redemption and secure us in that which He has won for us. Lord, You are the Almighty Creator God. And may we fear You. May we call down before You our praises. Lord, we thank You for everything that You have done for us. That You will never leave us or forsake us. And that in Your providential care, You will provide us everything we need in body and in soul. As much of a struggle as it is for us to understand that, Lord, may we rest in that fact. That despite going through this present evil age, through this veil of tears, we know that You are the Almighty God, that You are able to do all things for us. But also, Lord, that You desire to do those as our faithful Father. We ask You all these things in Your Son's most holy and precious name. Amen.